Dave Stewart has been a force in music as a producer and musician for more than 30 years. His name will probably always be intertwined with Annie Lennox and the pop rock duo Eurythmics. They transformed rock. Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree? Between his own singles and Eurythmics, Dave Stewart has sold more than 100 million CDs. He's worked with artists from Jagger to Joss Stone to John Bon Jovi and Katy Perry. But now, Dave Stewart has produced what is in some ways might be his most unexpected kind of music, The Blackbird Diaries. It's his first solo album in 13 years. Well, I remember Jesse May. And I remember how she used to wail. Dave Stewart joins us now from the studios of NPR West. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's very nice to be here.
Does this recording begin with a volcano?
Well, the reason why I ended up making the album in Nashville did start with a volcanic eruption in Iceland that caused all that ash to close down all the airports. And through that, I managed to sort of have about 5 days off work, which is very unusual for me. And I went wandering up the street to a great old guitar vintage shop. And I picked up this guitar, and when I opened up the case, you know, inside, it belonged to this guy called Red River Dave. And it had all these songbooks by him and photos of him playing the guitar. And he was a very sort of eccentric Texan country singer. And for some reason, from that moment on, I kept getting messages to go to Nashville. Can you go to Nashville to meet Martina McBride?
May I ask, when you say you kept getting messages, are these like emails, text messages?
No, phone messages, emails.
Not a burning bush or something like that.
Well, I think the guitar was kind of like the burning bush. Mm-hmm. And I went to Nashville, having not been there since the middle of the 80s when Eurythmics played live there. All of a sudden, I was in this studio called Blackbird Studios. I recorded the whole album in 5 days and wrote the songs in 5 days with all of these great Nashville players, and had probably the best experience I've ever had in a studio.
Let's hear another cut from the CD. Mm-hmm. One Way Ticket to the Moon. You and the Secret Sisters.
Yeah.
He wishes he could fly away from all his yesterdays. If he could, he would gladly pay for a one-way ticket to the moon.
Kind of a chilling song.
When I was writing it, you know, as a diary kind of, that's why it's called The Blackbird Diaries, I sat down in the morning or in the bath or in the pancake pantry in Nashville or wherever I was, and I would just dip into, like dipping almost a quill or a pen into ink, I would dip into different parts of my memory and write down just exactly what I thought about or what I was feeling about. And this was when I was kind of broke and living in a tiny one room in London, and the guy next door never came out of his room.
I can hear him climbing the wall. He won't see callers and he can't take calls. He wants his privacy. Most of all, he wants a one-way ticket to the moon.
If he did, he was very sort of like agitated and didn't say hello. And when he was in his room, he was all these strange noises, like he was tuning in like radio stations, like, ooh, kind of. And I was like, what is he doing in there? And anyway, that's what that song's about. It was a bit nerve-wracking living next door.
Whatever happened to him? Any idea?
I was expecting any day, like, people to turn up in white coats to take him away, but I moved out first, so I don't know. He might still be in there. He might hear this one day.
Well, if he does, get in touch.
A one-way ticket to the moon.
We're speaking with Dave Stewart about his new album, The Blackbird Diaries. We sent out a tweet asking people to come up with questions for you. May I read you a couple?
Yeah.
Someone who identifies themselves as Pacific Penelope says, ask Dave to paint a verbal portrait of the 80s scene he was a part of, the parties and the people they hung with, imagine.
The 80s scene was kind of probably different in America than it was in Britain. But in Britain, I'll paint it, which was, we'd come out of depression and the whole punk movement and riots. As the 80s developed, it became this huge sort of wash of hedonism, money being spent, drug-fueled mayhem parties, ending upside down in jacuzzis with famous actors and actresses. But fortunately, I'd stopped taking drugs in the 70s. Otherwise, I wouldn't be speaking on the radio now, because everything was there available and being force-fed to you. So Annie and I wrote about that a lot.
This question will sound perhaps a little odd coming after your very vivid recitation of what the times were like, but were those the good old days?
Well, I mean, I was just describing what was happening. What was happening personally for me and for Annie was we were sort of rocketing to stardom and playing bigger and bigger places and being on tour constantly. We made 10 albums in 9 years. So we didn't really have a real life existence running. We were sort of running parallel to that and observing it and writing about it. We wrote a song called The King and Queen of America at the peak of it, where we were just experiencing just complete mayhem and debauchery around us, but we weren't actually part of it.
Yeah, we're the all-time winners, and here we go, yeah. In the Queen of America.
What song from the Blackbird Diaries should we play as we bid you goodbye?
There's a great little story about this song that I sang as a duet with Stevie Nicks called Cheaper Than Free. Mm-hmm. And just before I was going to leave to go to Nashville to record, and, you know, I hadn't written any songs. I just had this idea, like this fireworks went off in my head, like when I was in Nashville. And I was sitting on this sofa in a studio, and I was drinking a vodka martini, and I was sitting next to Reese Witherspoon. And I said, hey, you know, I'm going to Nashville, and I'm going to make a record. And she said, oh, you should stay in my apartment, my condo. And then Stevie Nicks heard her, and she said, hey, that'll be cheap. And Reese turned around and said, hey, what's cheaper than free? Here's the song. It's the duet of me and Stevie.
What's cheaper than free? You and me.
Mr. Stewart, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. I hope you got what you want. I didn't sound too crazy.
No, it didn't sound crazy at all. Dave Stewart at NPR West, his new album, The Blackbird Diaries.
What does money not buy? You and I.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News, directed by Claudine Ibade and produced by Ned Wharton, Tom Bullock, Gemma Waters, Hansi Lo Wang, Justin O'Neill, Chris Benderev, Amy Heldon, Rebecca Hersher, Tony Marcano, Didi Skanky, Martha Wexler, and Deborah George edit the program. Our technical director is Burke Hun. Our librarians are Kim Oleski and Mary Glendinning. Our web producer is Melissa Goh. Our show edited today by Jeffrey Bennett, produced by Peter Breslow. Sarah Lucy Oliver is our supervising producer, and the senior supervising producer of Weekend Edition is Bridget Kelly. And I'm glad to welcome a new partner on the weekends. Tomorrow, Audie Cornish begins hosting Weekend Edition Sunday. Audie has covered hurricanes and the U.S. Congress, which are often confused, Boston, Nashville, and the South. She's filled in a lot for me and the fabulous Leanne Hansen, her predecessor on Weekend Edition Sunday. Audie is classy, funny, friendly, and smart. I'll look forward to hearing her. I'm sure you will, too. Tune in tomorrow as she faces one of the great challenges of broadcast journalism, the Weekend Edition Sunday Puzzle. I'm Scott Simon.